Matthew chapter 20 and verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard. Whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the first unto the last. Today I preach to you from one word, used two times over these eight verses of our text. This word should not be foreign to you here today, if you've been paying attention over the last several weeks. While we did not begin 2018 with this as a specific theme for this year, I believe that God has orchestrated and willed it to be so. So today I preach to you what I believe to be the theme for this church, not only for 2018, but until the Lord would return. I preach simply, others. Others. Would you pray and ask God to speak to us today? Thank you, Lord, for your presence and your power that is so mightily in this house. We thank you, God, for every healing. We thank you for every miracle. We thank you for every touch of your presence. And now, God, I pray that you'd open our hearts for your word, that you would minister and touch in every life, God, that you would challenge us to be more like you, that you would move us from the place that we are to the place that you want us to be. Help us to receive your word today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you just give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. You would need at least a dozen things to accomplish it in the physical. A paint scraper, steel wool, paint stripper, bleach, plenty of rags, a paintbrush, maybe a toothbrush, chemical-resistant gloves, a respirator mask, glass cleaner, a large tarp, and of course, goggles. They would all be needed to accomplish the task. What task is that, you say? The task of correcting our vision. Of course, it's a strange thing to recommend when there's plenty of great eye doctors in our city. Yet the vision I'm speaking of today cannot be treated by any doctor. It is truly a matter of the heart. He had not always been wealthy, but he became wealthy because he had a heart of gold. His name was Abraham, and he lived in the country of Poland. He owned a small retail shop, and although he didn't sell much, he sold enough to provide a modest home. A home that was always open to strangers and to the down and out. A holy man once happened to be one of his guests, and he noted Abraham's gracious hospitality, and so he prayed a prayer of blessing upon him. And much like his namesake in Scripture, God began to prosper Abraham. His shop grew very busy. He was able to expand. It grew even busier, and then he diversified, and it grew even more. Such was his newfound wealth that he built a beautiful home. He had many servants. He accumulated many possessions. And things changed in Abraham's life. No longer did he spend his life showing kindness to others as he once had. Oh, he had some employee somewhere that did those things, but now he was too busy. He was too preoccupied with his success and the caring of his possessions. His most prized possession was a floor-to-ceiling mirror that covered an entire wall of his house. The mirror reflected all of his many possessions throughout the home, but few were allowed to see them because no one was invited to his home now. Until that same holy man who had prayed a prayer of blessing returned, Abraham spent quite a while showing his guest all of his many great possessions. And finally he arrived before the crown jewel, the huge framed mirror, stretching from the floor all the way to the ceiling. The holy man asked, "Is it true that the mirror on the wall, as well as the window looking out on the street, are both made of glass?" Abraham replied, "Yes, that's true." The holy man continued, "What's the difference between the two?" Abraham said, "The mirror's back is covered with silver in order to reflect." The holy man said, "So silver can prevent you from seeing the world and cause you to only see yourself." Abraham was struck in his heart. His life had once been a window. He had once looked out upon the needs of others. He had showed his care for others, but lately his life had all been a mirror. Too much self, too much stuff, not enough others, not enough sacrifice. So the story goes that Abraham had the mirror removed from the wall, and in a corner of the mirror he took out the proper tools. I'm not sure if it was the dozen things that I mentioned earlier, but he began to work in the corner of the mirror. He deliberately marred it by removing the silver from it so that one corner was nothing but glass. Then he had it hung back on the wall to remind him that we think we see, but we really don't see until we are moved by the needs of others. The secret of a successful life is not found merely in having a winning personality. It's not to be had from attending the right schools. It's not even to be found through perseverance alone. Oh, you can climb the ladder as fast as you can, but if it's leaning in the wrong place, you'll climb all you want, but never arrive to where you need to be. You have to lean the ladder in the right place. And what's the right place? I believe today it's others. Philippians chapter 2 verse 4 declares, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Great churches don't merely exist for themselves alone, but they exist for others. Great people don't build their lives around a totem pole celebrating me, myself, and I, but they extend their lives for others. Remember the criticism of the unbelieving mob around the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus. They spit upon him. They mocked and they scorned him. But in the midst of their insults, they almost stumbled upon the truth. In Matthew 27, 42, they said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." The first part was right. He did save others. Himself he cannot save. Oh no, he could have. He could have. He could have easily destroyed all of those that were against him, but he chose not to. Himself he would not save, so he could save others. Hallelujah. I ask us today, really think about this with me. Is our life a mirror? Are we focused too much upon ourselves, devoted to pleasing our own dreams, our own plans, our own goals? Is our vision clouded with silver, by possessions, by the cares of this life, the things of this world? Or have we allowed the work of the Spirit to strip away at the things that are blocking us, blocking our vision? And God, let there be a correction made. Let there be a cleansing of the glass so we can clearly see the needs of others around us. I pray that there be some vision correction here today. Not anything that an eye doctor can do, but that we let the Holy Spirit have a work in our heart. Come on today, we need to hear His word. We need our life to be radically changed. Somebody here today, I want you to know the secret to a successful life is this. It's in this. This is the answer about the purpose for which you live. It's in others. This is the help that we need today. As if we can see the way the Master sees. Jesus saved others, even to the point of refusing to save Himself. That's what the townspeople of Fairborn, Ohio said of another man a few years ago. They had gathered for a spectacular air show where jet teams performed aerial aeronautics before the amazing crowd gathered that day. As they watched the Sabre Jets' trademark routine, one of the jets began to tumble out of formation. Colonel Walt Williams watched in horror as the plane piloted by Captain Johnny Ferrier tumbled toward the horrified onlookers. The colonel turned his plane to race toward Johnny's plane. "Bail out, Johnny, bail out," the colonel ordered. He could have ejected. He could have bailed out. But he answered with a signal to the colonel, a tiny blip of smoke, indicating he had heard the colonel, but he was trying to take action. Twice more, the command came, "Bail out, Johnny, bail out." Twice more, he released tiny bits of smoke. Command acknowledged, "But I'm trying to take action." The people on the ground saw the out-of-control plane screaming toward them, but then the crowd watched in amazement as at the last minute the plane was suddenly diverted and crashed a few hundred yards away, killing the pilot and leaving a large crater in the empty space. In an interview, an elderly spectator tearfully told the surviving pilots, "The plane was headed straight for us. For a second, we looked right at the pilot. Then we saw him throw himself against the side of the plane, pulling the stick away from us, and he crashed over there." In deep humility, the old man whispered, "That man died for us." A few days after the tragic accident, Johnny's widow, Tully, was given his personal effects that he had placed in a locker before flying his final flight. In his billfold, they found a folded piece of paper. The words were those that he had learned while attending a Christian youth camp. They simply said, "I'm third. I'm third." You've heard this story before, but not this specific one. When she asked what it meant, she told the people, "God first, others second, I'm third." If we wish to know what an abundant life is all about, save others. Put ourselves in third place. Put God in first place. And in between are all the important others. He saved others. Jesus didn't need saving himself. He saved others. He could have saved himself. If so desired, he could have spoken one word. But he didn't need saving. We needed saving. Others needed saving. I tell you today, great lives are committed to two great things. Last week, we looked at the great commandment to love God with all of our heart. To love Him with all of our soul, with all of our mind. That is the first thing. And the second is the Great Commission, to love others. Jesus lived the greatest life example of all. He is our example. Wednesday we looked at the woman from Samaria. It was Jesus who said, "I must needs go through Samaria," because He had an appointment. He had an appointment to keep with a woman who had given up on life. But that woman, that outcast of her society, she was the key to a Samaritan revival. I just wonder today, I really wonder in my mind, when the Apostle Philip had the apostolic breakout in the city of Samaria, and that revival that took place before he was called away to the Ethiopian eunuch. In that Samarian revival, probably on the front pew somewhere was that woman that Jesus had reached for, that Jesus had loved, that Jesus had ministered to, and she brought all of the townspeople because this was her hope, and she found it when Jesus reached for others. That's what God is passionate about. Look through the Gospels. He was focused on others. He was passionate about others. He said in Luke 19 and 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." He has not changed today. He's still passionate about the lives of others, about the lives of the lost. And I believe today that God spends the most time with those that share His passion. I believe God spends the most time with those that are passionate about others. When we're working to fulfill His great commission, when we are doing the work of His kingdom, I believe it pleases God. And He spends time with those that are passionate about the things He's passionate about. A man once prayed like this: "Lord, bless me and my wife, my son John and his wife, us four and no more." A childless couple once prayed, "Lord, bless us too, and that will do." An old bachelor prayed, "Lord, bless only me. That's as far as I can see." There needs to be a correction in our vision today. As far as we can see, that needs to reach to the souls of others around us. It must reach to that neighbor that we say hi to, but we've never prayed for. Our vision must reach to that coworker who is going through so much pain, and we've never reached out to. Our life must reach to that man or that woman that we keep running into around town. It's not by chance, it's not by accident, but God is ordering our steps, because that's others, and that's what we've got to see. That's what we've got to reach to today. God is passionate about others, and God looks for people who share His passion. Abraham was called a friend of God. Abraham was passionate about the souls of Sodom. When God confided in his friend the plans he had for that wicked, wicked, wicked place, Abraham took it. He took it as an invitation to intercede for the souls of that city. When God told Moses his plans to destroy Israel, Moses pled for their souls. God's word tells us the fate of those who don't obey the gospel. Hey, we know that today, and that should motivate us to reach the lost. Think of the historical figures who shared this passion. It was John Knox who said, "Give me Scotland or I die." Amen. It was Evan Roberts praying for Wales. He said, "Bend us, O Lord." It was Jim Elliot who was murdered by a band of Indians in South America who said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." After Jim died, his wife returned to preach to those same Indians that had taken his life. It was David Brainerd ministering to the American Indians in spite of his tuberculosis. Brainerd once told fellow preacher Jonathan Edwards, he said, "I don't go to heaven to be advanced myself, but to give honor to God. It's no matter where I shall be stationed in heaven, whether I have a high seat or a low seat, my heaven is to please God and to glorify Him and to give all to Him." Hallelujah. What pleased God? It was reaching for others. What others? It may be those that are outside of our comfort zone. It may be others that don't look the same as us or don't speak the same language that we do. It may be others in a city nearby. It may be others in an area of town that we don't normally go to. But that is the pleasing work that we can do, is reaching for others. "Pastor, why are you doing this? are you preaching this month? Why is others keep coming back? Because God is dealing with us to reach for others. Yes, we can have a nice service. We can have a nice time here together. Enjoy the company of one another. But that's not our purpose. Folks, I tell you, that's not our purpose. It's just to come and enjoy the blessings of God. The purpose is to go forth, to make disciples of this world, to reach our city for Him. Godly people focus on others. The love of Christ led to His own crucifixion. And there's a powerful truth there. Because if we want to die out to our flesh, we've got to reach for others. The love requires denying ourselves. To focus on others is contrary to our flesh. It's contrary to everything that we know and are taught. We see, but we don't really see. There's too many filters in front of our eyes. Our vision is blocked. Remember the wounded man on the road to Jericho. In their busyness, in their importance, the priest, the Levite, passed right on by. They saw, they didn't really see. In our busyness, in our lifestyle, in everything that we do, in every place that we go, we see, but God, help us to really see. Only when we look at Calvary does this change of vision come. Only when we see our selfishness in the light of His selflessness, then the mirror begins to be scraped. Then we cease worrying about how we've been hurt and how we've been slighted and how we are troubled, and we devote ourselves to reaching others. Someone once wrote, "It's not about me, God. It's about You and others. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer should be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I might live like Thee." Help us, Lord. Three simple yet powerful words. Three words capture the essence of what we're needing here today. Three words simply, "Here am I." Abraham heard the call of God and said, "Here am I." Isaac heard that call and said, "Here am I." Jacob heard the call and said, "Here am I." Joseph heard that same call and he said, "Here am I." Four generations, each one found in Scripture, responding to the call of God with the same three words, "Here am I." Four generations forming a chain of faith and obedience. "Here am I, God. I open my heart. I give You my life. I'll extend my heart to reach others." Moses turned aside to a burning bush and said, "Here am I." It was Isaiah who stood before the throne of God and said, "Here am I." And I want to tell you, that call still goes out today. That call to be a sacred vessel, to be a chosen instrument, a trumpet for God. I want to tell you today, there's Starbucks and McDonald's all over this city that need Bible studies. Come on. There's high schools and college campuses that need student groups. There are neighborhoods that need a small group to reach for them. There's whole families that need somebody to teach a Bible study to them. There are hungry, hurting people that need our compassion ministry. Who will step forward? Who will answer the call? Who will stand with the elders of faith and say, "Here am I. I might not have much to offer, but God, You can use me as You wish. I answer that call today. I see clearly today. I've got to reach others." Hallelujah. There are even people in this church, people that come from time to time, that need to be invited into our circle of fellowship. There's going to be a whole lot of new people coming to Harvest this year, I believe it. And we're going to need to make those connections And we're going to have people that love them. And we're going to need people to help disciple them. Who will answer that call? Who will say, here am I? Come on, there's people on your job. There's people at your school. There's people that maybe you haven't seen in years. But God is going to orchestrate things so that you're going to run into them this week or next month. And if you will answer that call, God will use you to reach others. Somebody say, here am I. Here am I, Lord. I hear the call and I answer it, God. I'll respond to your word. I hear your call today. God is calling. This call is urgent. It's a time-sensitive thing. The night comes when no man can work. I hear the call of God saying, I need more laborers in the vineyard. What real relevance this story of our text has to harvest today. The master of the vineyard went out early in the morning and hired laborers. He went out again at the third and the sixth and at the ninth hour and hired more workers. And at the 11th hour, he went out and found others. Others. Why? Because there was more harvest in the field. There was more work to be done. There was a need for others. We need people to heed that call today, because I tell you, there's more. There's more work to do. There are more people to reach. There are more ministries that we need to do. We need others. We can't do it alone, but God is saying, I need more laborers for the harvest. I need more laborers in the vineyard. And He's going and reaching for lives. We've got to be about others. And on in Matthew chapter 20, it came time for paychecks. And so the master gave to every man a penny, not much today, but more in that time. Reading in Matthew chapter 20, verse 11 through 16. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thine way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil? Because I am good. So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Many called, but few chosen. They were all paid the same amount. Those that started at the third hour, those that started at the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and even those that came in late at the 11th hour, they were all paid the same amount. I preach today to some third and sixth hour laborers, many of which have already gone on to meet the Lord. They were here at harvest. Perhaps some of you that you've been here a long time. Some of you who were perhaps raised on these church pews, not in this building, but in one of the other locations. The third and the sixth hour laborers. You've been in it for the long haul. You've been through some of those times that were tough. You've sacrificed when it wasn't easy to sacrifice. You came to church when it seemed like nobody else was coming to church and people were forsaking the Lord, and still you stood by this faith. You stood by this truth. Some of you have been through just horrible tragedies as far as churches go, and you've seen people give up on truth and go the way of the world, and you've come through that, and you've been part of that third and that sixth hour laborer, and you're still here, and you're still faithful, and you're still working, and God is still using you. And then there's the ninth hour laborers. More recently in the church, maybe your parents or maybe your grandparents were part of the third or the sixth hour. But you're here and you're enjoying the blessings of God and you're working for the kingdom, and God is bringing revival and God is moving through each of you that have started working in the ninth hour. But then there's the 11th hour workers. The Bible simply says he went and got others. There's others. I preach to them, although they're not here under the sound of my voice, I preach to them in the city of Springfield today. Others, I want you to hear this, Pastor. There's a church here that believes the apostolic truth. There's a church here that stands upon Bible doctrine. There's a church here that stands for separation from the world, that believes that you've got to be saved by repenting of your sins and being baptized in Jesus' name and being filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's a church here that loves you, others. And others, I want you to know that when you come to this place, we are going to love you. We are going to help you. We are going to minister to your needs. We're going to love your kids. Come on, we're going to love your kids even though they don't know how to act in church. Even though they don't know everything about being a Christian, we're still going to love them. Hallelujah. Come on, we're going to minister to your broken home because thank God. Come on, thank God some of you would go the same way, but it was for the grace of God. And we're going to love you where you're at, even though you might not have fancy clothes and you might drive a rust bucket of a car, but we're going to love you because we're about others here. Others, I want you to know, you're welcome at Harvest. You're welcome here at Harvest. So I preach to us here today. I preach to the third and the sixth hour laborers. I preach to the ninth hour laborers. I preach to the 11th hour. Those others who are coming. We're all working in this together. We're all in this together. Just because you've been here for a long time, it doesn't mean it's time to let up. It doesn't mean it's time to stop praying. It doesn't mean it's time to stop worshiping. It doesn't mean it's time to stop teaching Bible studies and stop reaching for the lost. You're still working in the harvest. Until the evening comes, we've got to still work, because when the evening gets here, no man can work. And they're all paid the same amount. Well, that's great for the 11th hour. I get to come in right at the last, and I get the same blessings everybody else got. I get salvation. I get eternal life. Some of you come in later than others, and I tell you, it's a blessing to come right on in. And we enjoy the blessings and we enjoy the sacrifices of those that have gone before us. And we, oh, what a blessing to be a part of this church. And the others that come in, they're going to get the same blessings. It does not matter that they don't even know the books of the Bible. It does not matter that they don't even know how to say apostolic. They're going to get to come in and we're going to teach them and we're going to love them. And they get the same reward. Oh, that's great for the 11th hour laborers. But in these scriptures we see that some of those who've been working all day, they had a problem. They had a problem with others. They had a problem with others. I stand before you today humbly as your pastor, but bold in what I feel that God told me to tell you today. We're not about others. We're in danger of losing our own soul. Help us today. Help us today. See, some of you, I told you, this year could be rough on some of us because we're talking about others. Talk about souls. And that makes us uncomfortable. I've got to change up the way I'm doing things. I can't just come and enjoy my comfortable pew because there's others sitting there. And now they're using others in the pastor's guest reception. Others that don't look like us. I drove up today in the parking lot, and there was a parking attendant there. I'm speaking figuratively in the future. And would you believe, I didn't even know who it was. They didn't grow up in this church. Who do they think they are? Others. Others. Did you see that on the front pew? There were some young people there that they didn't grow up in this place. They didn't know how to dress. But it's others. And we're going to love them, and we're going to teach them how to dress, and we're going to teach them what to do to be saved, but we're going to reach for others. We're going to reach for others. Those that had been working all day, there were some of them had a problem with others. God forbid that we'd live for God all of these years. And then at the very end, there's some 11th hour others that come into the church and get the same reward that we got. And all of a sudden, we start getting a little jealous because they didn't have to pay the same price that we paid. They didn't have to go to the all-night prayer meetings that we went through years and years and years. They didn't have to sacrifice when it wasn't fun being apostolic, but we did it anyway because it was what was right. And so now that revival is happening, and now that we've got a big church, and now that it's easy and it's comfortable, all of a sudden people start coming in, and they didn't pay the same sacrifice that we paid, and so we get a little upset. God forbid. God forbid. Whose vineyard is it today? Whose vineyard is it today? I tell you, it's the Lord's vineyard. It's not my vineyard. It's not your vineyard. It's the Lord's vineyard. He can do what he wants to with it. He can use who he wants to. I tell you today, there can be some people coming to this church in the 11th hour, and God used them to work miracles, and God used them to be a modern day apostle, and used them with the power of God. Hallelujah. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see it. We're about others. We're about souls. We're about reaching others. Would you stand with me today? I tell you, there's something that gets my heart going when I see a brand new person come into the house of the Lord and raise their hands, and tears begin to stream down their face, and they begin to speak with other tongues. Oh, there's something wonderful and special when I've been able to go back here and put someone down in that water in the precious name of Jesus, and they come up washed clean of their sins. There's something that is, there's nothing like it. I've seen some of the looks. First steps. Using people brand new. I'm not looking at anybody, but I'm telling you, I've seen your looks. I've even felt some of your spirits. Thank God he's working on all of us. In one of the Bible colleges that we're connected with in India, each graduate is given a bicycle, some money, and a train ticket to get wherever they're going to build a church. It's common practice there. They know when they graduate, they're going to build a church. At their graduation, those graduates, they just received a bicycle, a money, and a train ticket to go start a church. And they recite the following. Today, I stand as a dead man. I declare that in Jesus Christ, I am saved by his blood, and thus I am dead to sin and no longer dead in my sin. Today, I stand and declare that I surrender my will and my life to his will and his life. I shall go where he sends me without asking questions, I shall go to whomever he sends me without seeking fame. I shall preach to everyone, even if they hate me. I am an ambassador of the cross and must deliver the message. I shall pour out my life to reach my family, my friends, my neighbors, and my city. I embrace the shame of the cross and I fear nothing but God. I welcome suffering, shame, persecution, beatings, imprisonment, and death, but I will not be silenced. If I am killed, I pray that my blood should be a harvest for souls. This is my city. I dare not do less. God is looking for people today steering bicycles, piloting jet craft, or people in Springfield, Missouri that have the same mindset. God first, others second. Me, I'm third. I wish somebody would hear the call to this pastor today. I wish somebody would make their way to the altar today and say, God, here am I. Here am I. Come on, is there a future soul winner in the house that you'd say, here am I? Is there a future Bible study teacher? You would answer the call of God, here am I. There's a future pastor here today. Would you answer that call? Here am I. There's a young lady here right now. I feel it. Ministry's not something you're wondering about. You're not even looking at it. God's going to wipe your vision clean today. Would you answer? Here am I. Come on, there's some third hour and some sixth hour labors. You've been in this all of your life. Would you let God reawakening that call? Let him reawaken that call in you. Would you say, here am I. I'm not done yet. The darkness is not here just yet. It's coming. The evening is coming, but I've still got more work to do. And here am I. Oh, would somebody reach for others today? Would somebody be an intercessor today? Would somebody humble yourself today and reach for others? Hallelujah. My house is full, oh, but my fields are empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around my table. Wants to work in my fields. Oh, no one wants to work in my fields. Would you hear that call today? Oh, my house is full, but my fields are empty. Who will go and work for me today? Want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my fears. Come on, would you answer that call? Here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Come on, young man. Would you let God order your steps from the days of your youth? Come on, sister. Come on, brother. Would you let God wipe your vision clean? Your life has been too much of a mirror. It's been too much about ourselves and too much selfishness. Would you let God wipe your vision clean so you can see others today? Oh, God, come on, there's a work to do. There are others to be reached. We've got a work to do in this city. We've got a work to do in this area. God's looking for laborers in the vineyard. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I wish there'd be a sound of intercession in this house. I wish there'd be a sound of intercession across this place today, interceding for the souls of others, interceding for the souls of the lost.
Will go and work for me today.
Hallelujah.
It seems my children all want to stay around the table, but no one wants to work in my field. No one wants to work in my field. Oh, my house is full, but my feet are empty. Who will go and work for me today? Seems my children want to stay around my table. No one wants to work in my field. No one wants to work in my field.
John chapter 4, verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, are ready to harvest. They're white, are ready to harvest. Thank God to sit around the table to enjoy His blessings, His goodness. But there's a work to be done. There are souls to reach. There's others to minister to. I wonder if we could stand across this house right now, and in standing, I wonder if we just receive this calling from the Lord today. Lord, it's got to be less about me, and it's got to be more about you and more about others. I pray that you'd help us today, right now, God. Lord, here am I. Here am I, Lord. I receive this burden, and I receive this passion from you. I answer this call today, God. Lord, I pray that you would order my steps. I pray, Lord, that you would put hungry people in my path, and I pray that you would give me the words to speak. Give me the words to say. Help me to reach them for you, for your kingdom, God. I pray that you'd help me, Lord. It's less about me, and it's got to be more about you and more about others. Challenge my heart. Let this be a transformation in my life today. Completely transform me, Lord, and make me what you want me to be, to do your work, to do the work of reaching others. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Would you sing this song? Would you sing this song? Just let it get in your spirit right now. Hallelujah.
My house is full, but my feet are empty. Who will go and work It seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my fields. No one wants to work in my fields. But my fields are empty.
Yeah. That's so good.
The Lord for me today. It seems my children want to stay around. To work in my